Joining us now is journalist and author Max Rashbrook, who has written a lot about inequality in New Zealand. And he says COVID-19 is a symbol of a world out of balance. He's written an essay considering the role of the state, the government, post-coronavirus. And he joins us now. Hi, Max.
Hi, Jesse.
Why is this a good time to think about the way we run the state?
Well, I think what we've seen in the last few weeks is sort of the presence of government in everyone's lives suddenly increase immeasurably. And obviously that's had, you know, some problematic sort of authoritarian elements, but also, you know, we're seeing the government prop up the economy at the moment. And so, you know, there's this huge sort of eruption or sort of very obvious government into our lives. And I guess what I've been trying to do with the essay, which is part of the series that the PSA is putting together, is to say, well, what should government look like in the future? What does coronavirus teach us? What kind of government do we need in the coming years?
As I say, you've studied inequality quite closely. Does coronavirus or does life with coronavirus highlight any aspects of inequality for you?
Yeah, it really does. I mean, and unfortunately the normal pattern, and this isn't surprising, of pandemics and crises is that they hit the poor hardest. You know, if you look back to the global financial crisis, there was almost no dent, really, in the incomes for the richest New Zealanders, but the poorest New Zealanders took about 6 years to recover their pre-GFC levels of income. And, you know, and we're seeing that in things at the moment, like, you know, the share market's going great guns at one end versus, you know, unprecedented demand for food banks and food parcels and that sort of thing. But so I think one of the things the government's absolutely going to have to do is have inequality, you know, in its sights throughout this recovery. And, you know, and I think that really involves a much more generous safety net to cushion the initial blow. And I think also just probably if the government does one thing from now on, probably a huge redeployment and retraining effort to help all the people who've lost jobs find new jobs in whatever kind of economy we have post-coronavirus.
There's a tendency to think of the government interventions at the moment as temporary emergency measures, but would you like us to think about them as measures that could be adopted or extended?
Well, I think it's a mixture of things. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I wouldn't even use the word intervention because, you know, that suggests there's a natural sort of pre-existing order of things that government artificially alters, whereas in fact, you know, government's always there. It's kind of the bedrock of a lot of things in our society. But look, I think it's a mixture. I think there are some things that are justified as part of the emergency response to coronavirus. And then there are some things that, you know, that the government will need to do long term. But I don't actually think that right now, you know, when we're in a state of emergency and everyone's incredibly stretched, I don't think right now actually is a time to make sweeping change. But I do think that, you know, I would like to see parties going to the coming election proposing some really serious change. And that might involve things like, I mean, we know that we have a welfare system that doesn't work very well. It's incredibly complicated. It's extremely ungenerous. You know, I would like us to be thinking about things like, you know, guaranteed minimum income, you know, so that if you need support from the government, you know that you're guaranteed to get it and it's a level that you can live in dignity, some level of dignity with. So I think there are some big changes needed in the future, yeah.
Well, how do we pay for it is the obvious question. We've had to, you know, spend a lot of money to give this, to get this wage subsidy happening. And for a lot of people, you know, that it would be a nice to have, but where do we get the money to pay for what you describe as putting some extra fat into the system?
Yeah, look, I think it's a good question. And I think the financial response to coronavirus is going to go through at least a couple of stages. I mean, in the short term, it looks pretty inevitable that there's going to be greater public debt. What I think is essential, then, is that we not panic about that because, you know, our government debt will be maybe 50, 60% of our annual income. And, you know, as I pointed out elsewhere, post-World War II, the British government had debt that was 2.5 times its national income. but it just paid it off slowly and sensibly. It didn't slash public services or anything like that. It made its last payment on its World War II debt in 2006. You know, so we can just pay it off slowly and sensibly. And if we need extra support for people, extra cushioning for people to get through the recovery, I think there should be a greater contribution from people who survived relatively unscathed, and that will be by and large the wealthy. And so I think one important way of funding the recovery, paying for the things that I'm talking about, will be some kind of tax on the holders of large fortunes, some kind of tax on wealth, on people who can afford to contribute a bit more to the recovery.
All right, Max, thanks for your thoughts as ever, and we'll send people to the website to read your essay in full, rnz.co.nz/Jesse. Thanks for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thanks very much.